wonderful kids. Love those kids. Love those kids. Good afternoon. I hope your new year is off to a good start. I know that many of you have already experienced a State of the Church address, but for some of you, this may be a new thing and may need a little bit of introduction. The message is designed as a time for us to take stock and remember where God has worked in our midst in the past year. We also admit where we have struggled and where there have been challenges. As much as anything, it's an opportunity to dream and to ask God what He has in store for us in the year ahead. Now, it's a bit unusual because I read this sermon, something I usually try to avoid. But I do that because I have printed copies of this message available, and it's also available online. And because of that fact, I want to make sure that what I say is the same as what is in print. So my sincere prayer is that God will use this message to help us hear His heart and see clearly where He is at work. Colossians 3, 12 through 17 tells us, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing hymns, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I thought a good bit in recent days about the question of where God has been at work. How has He been shaping us to look more like this description of the church that Paul writes to in Colossae? Because of the fact that we are a part not only of the International Baptist Convention, but also the German Baptist Bund, I spend a fair amount of time at the beginning of each year writing reports. This is not my favorite thing to do, but it does help remind me of of what has happened in the past year and where God truly deserves praise and glory. And in doing so, I've identified three clear ways in which God has blessed us. The first is that we continue to grow as a healthy church. When we saw this description from Paul, what we are seeing is a description of a church which is healthy. It's a church that has put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. It's a church that bearing with one another and forgiving one each other as the Lord has forgiven you. It's a church where love binds everything together in perfect harmony and where the peace of Christ rules in your hearts, to which indeed you have been called in one body, and be thankful. Now, I call that discipleship. It reflects a body where we are becoming more like Christ. You see, the primary measure of being a healthy church isn't the number of people who attend, or the amount of our offerings. The best way of measuring our health and success is, are we growing as followers of Christ? Do we look more like Jesus than we did a year ago, both as individuals and as a church? And on the whole, I would have to say, yes, I have seen incredible instances of people in this church reaching out in love and in compassion to one another and to those to whom they have been called. I have seen real worship and a desire to know the Word of God. If ever this cannot be said of us as individuals and as a church, then it's critical that we attend to that issue. Secondly, not only are we a healthy church, but we are a church that is thriving. Now, what does that mean? When I say we are thriving, what I mean is that we are intentional in reaching beyond our doors. people hear from our neighbors and work colleagues about IBC, and they invite them to come and to join us. There's a family atmosphere to this church, which is contagious, but it's not limited. You don't have to be an insider to be a part of the family. You're a part of the family just simply by allowing us to come alongside of you in your life. And people are responding. I don't know if you've realized how many people we have sent this year. The number is staggering. Yet we look around each week to see how faithful God is in bringing into this body people with whom we share the journey. Wonderful people who continue to shape this church into the church which God has called us to be. I've told a number of people that I wish I could claim a strategy or plan for the growth that we've seen. But the truth is, we're just trying to keep up with the doors which God opens to us. He is the one who is faithful and who is at work. We are thriving in other ways as well. We have made tremendous steps in being a generous church. In fact, although we don't have the final figures yet, we will come extremely close to making our budget for 2018. Now, I know you're saying, Nick, making budget is great and all, but why would that be so exciting? Well, I'm glad you asked. For the last 4 years, we have lived within our means. But we have come significantly short every year of making our budget. We have not ended the year in the red, but that was due in part to the sacrifice of those who have been in leadership in the church. Instead of asking the church to buy Sunday school materials, they paid for it out of their pockets. They are the deacons who have simply bought what was needed for the church without any concern for the cost. In short, we have operated in the black largely because we have either curtailed ministry or asked individuals to go above and beyond and cover costs which rightly belong to the church. So when I say we can rejoice in the fact that we very well may reach our budget, it means much more than simply a sum of money. It means that we can fund ministries as they need to be funded. It means that we can support missions and our partners in ministry as we should. It means we live as full partners in this house, which we co-own, but where we have at times not been able to carry our full share of the load. Most importantly, it means we are growing in our understanding that generosity is one of the most important signs that God is truly Lord of all. I want to thank you for entrusting this church with those resources. Most of you know that we as a church do not receive any of the tax support which comes to the state church in Germany. We are a free church and completely dependent upon those who call Emmanuel their spiritual home to help make everything possible which this church undertakes. Every gift is a step of faith and a recognition of where those resources come from. Perhaps this year is a good time to take an additional step of faith and set up that gift as an automatic deduction from your bank account. That, by the way, is from our people who work with the money. But that way, you don't even have to consider whether or not you will give that in a particular month. Finally, I want to mention something that I've mentioned a couple of times in the past month or so. In the past year, we have seen 19 babies born to this congregation. Now, I know we did nothing as a church to cause the birth of these children, although I keep saying there's something in the water. But the fact of their birth is more of a blessing than you may know. You may be aware that this church has a long and rich history. We were the first English language Baptist church established after the war, and together with Bethel Baptist in Frankfurt, helped establish what is now the International Baptist Convention. What you may not know is that this church went through some very difficult days. the transition from primarily a church for those stationed in Wiesbaden with the U.S. military to being the international church that we are today was not easy. At one point, this church almost ceased to exist. We are here today because of the sacrifice, the hopes, prayers, and dreams of those who came before us. And I will never forget being told of a particular prayer meeting when people prayed and they dreamed of the day when this church would see weddings being performed and children being born, when the balcony would be full and the nations would fill this church. People in this church prayed for you to be here, for God to send you. They prayed that we would see the four weddings that we saw last year and the incredible gift of 19 new babies in 2018. Those children are not just a blessing to those parents and to us as a church. They are an incredible sign of God's love and answered prayer. Now, I'd love to simply end there and move on to the things I see ahead of us. But just as Scripture never allows us the luxury of seeing where we are faithful, but calls us to face where we are unfaithful, so too we must admit where we have fallen short. In the midst of what has been an amazing year, there have been a number of places where we have either fallen short or at least faced temptation. The first is the challenge of distractions. The enemy is not content when we are focusing on the work of God in our midst. And one of the very best strategies is to insert distractions. How easy it is for us to focus on things of lesser importance and miss the opportunity to see God at work and praise Him for His faithfulness in the big things. I want to confess to you that I am as apt, or perhaps even more apt, to do this as anyone. You know that feeling, don't you? I can get so irritated when things don't run as I think they ought to run. Now, God did some great things in this year, whether it was the joint services with the German congregation, the incredible Easter service, where we literally had to scour the church for tables and chairs, or having our annual picnic in a different location, or any number of things that we did over this past year. In every single instance, there was the opportunity for distraction. There's a reason that Hebrews 12:2 calls us to fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We must resist the temptation to be distracted from what He is doing. It doesn't mean we ignore problems or challenges, but it means we give them the appropriate place. The second scheme of the enemy is division. The truth is, unity is hard work, because unity doesn't mean that we're always of the same mind or opinion. A church where there is never a difference of opinion is not a healthy church. It is a church which doesn't care enough to disagree. But there is a way to work through those differences in a way which promotes unity rather than discord. For those of us in leadership, we must continue to work hard to promote an atmosphere where open discussion is not just allowed, but valued. Every single one of us, you and me, will find ourselves in disagreement with some decision this church makes. And at that point, we must make the decision to foster unity rather than division. We can disagree with grace and love and intentionally choose unity. Titus 3:10 tells us, "As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him." It's important. We must watch our own hearts and not allow ourselves to be the cause of division but rather work intentionally for unity. Finally, I think one of our temptations will be disappointment. Each of us has faced disappointment. We may be disappointed with God because He didn't answer our prayers in the way we thought He would. You may be disappointed with me because you think the way in which I expressed something or a decision I made was not in line with what you'd envisioned. We may be disappointed with one another. Maybe you feel like you didn't receive the affirmation that someone else received or the help you needed. If we look for it, there are surely instances where each one of us has or could have been disappointed. I come back to the passage we began with which reminds us to bear with one another and forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. Every single one of us, myself included, is in need of grace, not just from God, but from one another. Disappointment can be hard, as can forgiveness. But if we remind ourselves that we too stand in need of that grace, then it helps us to offer it with an open hand. So as we enter 2019, let us enter this year with focus, unity, and grace. I believe God is going to continue what He has started. I believe the prayers of the saints who came before us are going to continue to be fulfilled, and that God has some amazing things in store. In fact, never before, at least in my time with you, have we stood poised for God to do such great things among us. Let's start with those 19 babies which were born and the literally dozens of children that we have in our church. We have recommitted ourselves to giving those kids what they need to grow into the young men and women God would have them to be, starting with the very youngest. To this end, we want to tell you about our nursery relaunch. Dina, would you come forward? Foster Hudson. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So if you have a nursery-age child, I want to encourage you to go and check out the nursery today. Roberta and Foster and Dina and Jean have put a lot of work into the nursery. And it really is a place where your kids from the youngest can have a place where they are safe and will be taught from those earliest months that God loves them and has a plan for them. We really do love your kids, and we understand that it's easy to not want them out of your sight. But we are committed to having a place where your children are well taken care of, where they can learn about Jesus on their own level, and will leave you free to focus on what Jesus is speaking to you about. I know that this is a big step of faith for parents, but I want to encourage you to do two things. One, take that step for yourself, and two, help us by volunteering in the nursery on a regular basis. It will not only give you a chance to be with your child, but also to help us create a place where everyone can trust that their child is receiving excellent care. But we don't want to just encourage and help our children to grow to become all that we have been created to be. We want to help parents as well. In fact, we want to encourage every single marriage in our church. And that's why we have something very special planned in March. Ron and Corinne want to tell you about that, and they have a special way of doing it. Susan and I have been through the Significant Marriage Seminar, and I can tell you that it is unique in that it not only builds your marriage so that your marriage is strong, it helps you figure out how God desires to use your marriage and your family to impact the world and to be significant. I am so thankful that because of your faithfulness, we are able to offer this 100 euro scholarship to each of our couples. This is one of those ways in which your giving will have a very real ministry impact. Not only that, but here's something else. We have invited friends from West University Baptist Church and Cross Point Church in Houston, Texas, to come with us and do a full-blown children's program while we are in the marriage seminar. They will be coming prepared not just to watch your kids, but to have a kids program in which they learn about Jesus, who he is, and how they can come to know him. A part of that team will be David and Denise Glenn, who have written the material Motherwise and Fatherwise. Your kids are going to love it, and so will you. So here's the honest truth. Where else can you get a weekend of an amazing children's program for your kids for 99 euro with an amazing marriage seminar thrown in for free, basically? Plus two meals. But in case you're not married, don't have kids, and aren't a kid yourself, we still have something for you. In fact, this is something for everyone and something we believe will help us in our pursuit to make disciples. So through our partnership with the International Baptist Convention, every single person in our church gets a free Right Now Media account. If you'd like one, the choice is yours. Right Now Media is like Netflix for believers. It has an incredible amount and variety of videos with some excellent teachers and materials which you can use at home, on your phone or tablet, whenever and wherever you would like. So for the next 2 weeks, our newsletter will include instructions on how to get your account. If you don't receive our newsletter, I'll have my computer set out up in the back at the info table so that you can enter your own information, or you can just simply send me an email asking to be signed up. If you would rather not receive the newsletter but would still like to have the possibility of having a Right Now account, next week there will be a QR code and link in next week's bulletin. I hope you can feel some of the excitement that I feel about the coming year. And there's so much more that we could talk about. We're going to continue to reach out in missions, not just through Kainos, but also in a strategic partnership with our partners in the German congregation and through one or more mission trips. We also already have several special sermon series lined up for the coming year. In February, we'll start a 5-week study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Leading up to Easter, we'll look at the words of Jesus from the cross in a series called Red Letter Day. And later in the year, we'll tackle the middle section of the book of Revelation in a series called Tribulation and Trumpets. We even have a series in the fall planned called When Pigs Fly. You definitely don't want to miss that one. All along the way, there will be opportunities to put your faith into practice outside of the walls of the church. Here's the honest truth. This church is the place it is because people like you care enough to get involved. If you're looking for a place to sit and soak, as my pastor in college used to say, then you're probably in the wrong place. We believe that every single believer should find a place and a possibility to use their gifts and passions. Because being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is not about attending services, but about being a servant. It always has been and always will be. And in 2019, my prayer is that we will continue to experience God's work among us, that we will grow in compassion and love for one another and for those among whom God has planted us. May it be said of us, they are a people who have compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we come to you, that truly is our prayer, that we would reflect who you are, that our way of life, that the way in which we do things, the way that we interact with one another and the way that we interact with you and the community, that we reflect your heart. Father, we are so far from perfect, but you are perfect. And you dwell within us, and you say that you've called us to be your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this family. Thank you for the incredible ways in which you have been at work. Thank you for the opportunities that this year holds to be faithful to you, to not be distracted, to not be disappointed, to not deal with those challenges, Father, but to put our face to you in the midst of those things, when those things come, Father, that we put our face towards you and look to you as the Lord of everything. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've had together today. We love you, and we pray this in your name.